Father, we do thank you again for this time that we have to be here, gathered together in your name. And once again, Lord, as we take time to open your word, I pray that your word would, as it comes inside of us, as we take it in, Lord, that it would have that cleansing effect on us once again, Lord, and that you would just continue to make us into the people you call us to be. We thank you for your word, and we commit this time to you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you've got them and open up to Genesis chapter 4. Last week, we looked at the story of two brothers by the names of Cain and Abel. And of course, you recall how Cain was rebellious. He was disobedient to the word of the Lord, and innocent blood was shed that day as Cain killed his brother Abel, and the first murder in the Bible, the first murder in history was recorded there, Genesis chapter 4. We went through, down through around verse 16, but I want to turn your attention once again this morning to verse 16. Verse 16 of chapter 4 says, "So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden." And pause there. You see, because of what Cain did, because he sinned, because he was rebellious and disobedient, verse 16 tells us now that he left the presence of the Lord. If you're taking notes this morning, you can jot down these 3 points that I've got for you. In regards to sin in our lives, what does sin do? You see, I think it's important that we realize what sin does, because it's so important because God offered his one and only Son to take the sin of the world upon himself. And we see the ugliness of sin there at the cross, don't we? That's why sin is so serious, because we see what it does. We see what it did to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, again, if you're taking notes, point number one, what does sin do? Sin causes separation. Sin leads to separation. Once again, you see, we see the consequences of sin here in our story. First, we saw it earlier there in the garden, didn't we? When Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, when they ate there of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so because of that, Adam and Eve, they were driven out of the presence of the Lord, and they were no longer able to enjoy the presence of the Lord the way that they once did there in the garden, didn't they? And now, you see, because of Cain's sin, he ends up leaving the presence of the Lord as well, doesn't he? But I want you to notice something this morning, and that is this. So often I read this story, or I've read it in the past and just thought to myself as I read, well, Cain sinned and the Lord God is angry at him and he's booting Cain out of the land. He's mad. He's ticked off. But you know, it wasn't just that the Lord was kicking Cain out of his presence. In other words, it wasn't just because God was shaking his fist at Cain in anger. No, I believe it was because, you see, it was because of Cain's sin that this was happening. What are you saying, Josh? Well, you see, the Bible says this in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. You see, what I'm saying is this, that it wasn't so much that God was just mad at his kids here. No, rather it's that God and sin, you see, cannot coexist. They cannot have fellowship together, one with another, you see. So much so that even when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, became sin for you and me, you know that the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So much so that even when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, became sin for you, became sin for me, that the Father in heaven turned his back on his one and only Son there at that moment on the cross at Calvary. And the Bible says in that moment that there was darkness over the whole earth, that the sun was darkened in that moment. God and sin, they do not fellowship with one another. Sin, you see, causes, sadly, a separation to take place between us and the Father. We saw it with Adam and Eve, and once again, we see it happening here in our story with Cain. It causes separation. Number two, what else does it cause? It causes isolation. Isolation, you see. Again, verse 16 tells us that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 14, if you look up a few verses, tells us that Cain would be a fugitive and a vagabond from henceforth. The rest of his life, he would live as a fugitive and a vagabond. Man, how sad is that? Yeah. Going back to verse 16, if you will, look at where it says Cain ended up dwelling. Where did Cain end up dwelling? It says he dwelt in the land of Nod. What is the significance there of this? Perhaps your margin in your Bible may tell you that Nod literally means wandering. Literally means wandering. Wow. Have you ever noticed how those without Jesus, they just seem to be lost in sin, don't they? Well, that's really because that's how they are. That's how it is. They are truly lost in sin. They are lost. They are literally dead men and women walking, wandering around without a true sense of purpose. It reminds me of the children of Israel. Because of their sin, because of their unbelief, they wandered in the desert for how long? 40 years? They were just going around in circles, weren't they? Until that generation ended up dying off, sadly. They wandered. And so too, Cain here ends up wandering around too. He's a wanderer, a fugitive, a vagabond, the Bible says. And so too with people around us who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who are lost in sin, they are literally dead men walking, wandering around without a true sense of purpose in life. You remember in Revelation how we saw a man who will come on the scene, and he will come on the scene in peace, offering a solution to all of the world's problems. Yet the Bible says that this man is called the man of lawlessness, and his number is 666. He is the Antichrist, you see. But to everyone else, he, at least at the beginning, he looks like a man of peace. He looks like a good guy. But you know what the Bible says? If basically you could just put on your spiritual eyes and look at him, that you would see that he's not just a man of peace, but he's really a beast. And not only that, but we see there in Revelation Satan, and how, again, if we could see him through this spiritual eyes, and how the Bible says he's as a dragon, okay? Well, what are you saying, Josh? Again. Well, I think it's interesting because our society, and sadly so many of our kids, seem to just have this fascination these days with zombies, don't they? Fight the zombies, man, and yeah, go get them, you know. And they're out there shooting their guns at the zombies and everything, playing. But you know, it's actually, when we think of it, it's the truth behind it all. It's sad because if we could, again, only put on our spiritual eyes, we would see that those without Christ, you see, are really as zombies, dead men walking. That's why, you see, we live to preach Christ. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we preach the good news. And we always say, man, don't you know that God loves you? Don't you know that He has a plan for you? Don't you know He's got a purpose for your light? And we invite them to come out of the darkness and into the glorious light of Christ Jesus. Man, isn't it interesting, though, that darkness loves darkness? That's why the Bible says there in John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, John 3, 19, Jesus said, "And the judgment is based on this fact, God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But," verse 21, "those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see what they are doing, so others can see that they are doing what God wants." John 3, 19, 21. I want you to see the contrast here for a moment, okay? People who are without Jesus and in sin, they may think, you know, I'm not alone. I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor, about this sin thing causing isolation. Because I'm not alone. I'm not isolated. In fact, I've got all my buddies I hang out with down at the bar. I go to the club whenever I want. I've got my gang out there that has accepted me. Yet you know what? The truth be told, when those people leave that scene, even when they're part of that scene, or when they go home at night, you know what the truth is? That they feel all alone deep inside. Deep inside, they are all alone. Why? Because they are without Christ. But notice this, the Christian, though, on the other hand, the Christian, the child of God, you see, listen to this, because the child of God can be all alone in this world, isolated really in the eyes of the world, yet at the same time, the child of God can be in complete fellowship and sweet holy communion with Almighty God, not alone in the least bit, knowing that he or she is surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. Isn't that cool? Well, the sinner, you see, the sinner wanders about there in the land of Nod like Cain, wandering about with no sense of direction, no purpose in life, looking for their purpose, you see, in the temporary, fleeting pleasures of this world. But the believer, on the other hand, the believer says, I am a child of God, and my Creator, you know what? My Creator knew me before I was ever born, and His thoughts toward me are good and not evil. And He has prepared good things for me to walk in, and I have a purpose. Why? Because I know where I'm going. Where am I going? Man, I'm going to heaven. I'm not an aimless wanderer. I have purpose in my life. I have purpose because I have God Almighty residing within me. He loves me. Man, He's got good things for me, and I know where I'm going. Amen? Amen. man, you might think, well, Josh, that sounds all nice and good and dandy, but really, I'm here. I know Jesus, but I'm wondering where I'm supposed to be. Maybe you're a college student wondering what the next step is. Maybe you're in high school and thinking, man, I don't know what I'm going to do in my life. But you know what? You do have purpose. God has called you, and He wants you to bloom wherever you are at. Bloom where you're at. Wherever you're at. Man, if you're flipping burgers there at In-N-Out, man, He's got a plan for you there. Man, if you're in high school, He's got a plan for you. If you're retired and wondering, what do I do now? Man, He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose. Bloom where you are planted. Amen. Well, lastly, sin not only causes separation, not only leads to isolation, but ultimately it leads to destruction. Destruction. I was thinking this as I was preparing about, instead of using the word destruction, I was thinking about annihilation or elimination. I just thought they sounded a lot cooler. But I ended up going with destruction. But you know, the Bible has an even clearer way of putting it in regards to this. And it's really quite sobering. You see, there in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, you know the passage. The wages of sin is death. Sin leads to destruction, which literally means death. You see, when Cain decided to kill his brother, he gave in to the sin that was crouching there at his door. You recall verse 7, the Lord said to Cain, sin, Cain, is crouching at your door. Cain gave in to the sin crouching at his door. He did not master it, but sin became his master in that moment, and his brother's life was destroyed. And not only that, but Cain's life as well would be destroyed. As he would no longer, you see, he would no longer have a blessed life. But instead, he would be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth for the rest of his days, sadly. You see, sin not only affects you, but it affects other people. Cain's sin didn't just affect his brother Abel, who was slaughtered. Cain's sin affected his own life. And can you imagine the lives of those around him? His parents, Adam and Eve, who must have wept and been so filled with sorrow. Sin affects others as well. If you think, well, this sin, I can deal with it. It's just affecting me. Sin affects others. And you see, the choice is ours. We can either live in sin and be separate from God in His presence, isolated and wandering about, only to see our lives wasted and ultimately destroyed, or we can live for Christ and we can be blessed. Not separated, but blessed in His presence, even as we read earlier there before the servants. Before the service, excuse me, in Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. We don't have to live separated. We can live blessed in His presence, in fullness of joy. And then, you know, we can go about confidently walking, not in death and destruction, but in the abundant life and in the good works in which He has prepared in advance for us to walk in all the way up until we enter through those pearly gates of heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh. But wait. You see, there's a problem. There's a problem because, you see, man, I find myself failing miserably. I find that, you know what? I can't do it. I've blown it again. You know what? I can't do it. And neither can you. We can't live a life without sin, and we can't live a life up to God's standard, you see. But praise the Lord, we've got Jesus. Amen. We've got Jesus. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Because you see, you know what? He was separated as he left his throne in heaven to become a man. And he wandered this earth, as the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Jesus says, "Foxes have dens to live in, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He was a wanderer, if you will. And not only that, but his life was destroyed as he died there a brutal death, I mind you. A gruesome death there as he died for you and me personally there on the cross at Calvary. You see, listen here, child of God. He was separated so that you could have fellowship with Almighty God. He wandered the earth so that you could live confidently in Christ, so that you could literally have a pillow to rest your head upon at night. And he died so that you could have life and life abundantly, as he says there in John chapter 10, verse 10. Praise the Lord. So you know what? Yeah, I can't do it, but guess what? He did it. He lived the life we couldn't live so that we could live the life we don't deserve to have. Praise the Lord. And you know what? His Holy Spirit is the one who will help us. He is the helper. He is the advocate. He will help us. He will enable us to walk in the ways, in the way that he calls us to walk in. Praise the Lord. And so you know what? If you're struggling with sin this morning, if you don't know the love of Christ, I encourage you today and I pray that you will give your life to Christ. You say, "Well, I've already done that, Josh, but I'm still struggling with sin." If that be you, then once again this morning, come again to the foot of the cross this morning as we go to the table. Amen. Well, for those of you who were really hoping that I was going to make it all the way through chapter 4 this morning, that was my intention and my plan all week long, but you know what? The Lord had other plans. And this was the word that he gave me for us this morning. You know what? Isn't there a verse in the Bible that says, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break"? Oh, it's not in the Bible. Okay. But I think it's a word from the Lord anyway. When we are flexible, you know what? The Lord, you know, the Bible says that man makes his plans, but God directs his step. Be flexible with the Holy Spirit as you go your way this week. Be led of the Spirit. "Well, I was planning on doing this," you say. "My schedule says I'm going here." But wait a second. Are you sure the Holy Spirit isn't saying stop here first? Be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit as you go your way. And as we come to the table, man, may we be reminded once again, praise the Lord, we have someone who stepped in our place, who stood in our stead for us. Someone greater, much greater than us, who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And every time, precious people, every time you are struggling with sin, may you continue to come back to the foot of the cross. As you take the cup, as you take the bread, may you be reminded and give him thanks that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even if you just sinned, man, you say, devil, I'm not giving in to your condemnation. I'm believing this morning what God's word says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. We'll have the brothers come forward in a moment or so and pass out the elements. of communion. And we're going to, if you want to hold on to the elements, we'll take them together this morning, okay? So Lord, again, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for your word. And once again this morning, Lord, we confess that we are sinners. We've fallen short. We've blown it. We've messed up. Perhaps even 5 minutes before coming to church. But Lord, as we come to the table once again this morning, how we thank you that you love us. How we thank you that you have forgiven us. How we thank you that you have cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And how we thank you that you look on us with eyes of love. And that you don't condemn us. Even as the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus, you said, "Woman, where art thou accusers?" She said, "They've gone." And Jesus, you told her, "Hey, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." Lord, may we go our way this morning and sin no more, I pray. But when we do, we thank you that we can come quickly back to the foot of the cross and that you forgive us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.